In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today's Gospel should have seemed to be very familiar to you because we hear it every year, at least once, sometimes twice. We hear it every year on the second Sunday of Lent. As always, a reading of the Gospel of the Transfiguration, and it goes back to a very ancient tradition that the Transfiguration took place 40 days prior to our Lord's crucifixion. But if the Feast of the Transfiguration falls on August the 6th, that is today, it always falls on August the 6th, but if August the 6th falls on a Sunday, it takes the place of the Sunday Mass. So we get to hear this wonderful and very profound Gospel yet again. And it's a very good thing, because it reveals much about our Lord's nature and his mission among us. You know the story, don't you? Our Lord took Peter, James, and John to the top of Mount Tabor. Now, remember, that's the other James, not our James. Our James had to wait at the bottom. But he took Peter, James, and John to the top of Mount Tabor, and while they were praying, the veil over our Lord's divine nature was lifted, so that when the apostles looked at him, they saw him as both true God and true man. They saw him as he truly was. And why was this singular privilege given to them? Well, the fathers of the church teach, and even the prayers of today's Mass teach, that it was to strengthen them against the scandal of the cross, so that they would remember who exactly Jesus is when everything seemed to be lost. This is why, by the way, he was speaking with Moses and Elijah. Moses, the lawgiver, Elijah, the greatest of the prophets, because the law and the prophets both said that the Son of Man had to go to Jerusalem to suffer and die and to be raised again from the dead. And then there's St. Peter. I bet throughout the world today there are many priests and deacons who are making fun of St. Peter. Oh, that Peter, he's always saying strange things. Little do they realize that if they were there, they would have said the exact same thing. Because who, if they had gained heaven, would ever want to lose it? No one. If you were taken up into heaven right now, would you ever want to come back? No. Because heaven is the satisfaction of the deepest desire of our heart, which is to see God face to face. And that is exactly what happened to Peter, James, and John. So St. Peter said, let's just stay here in heaven. I'll make a dwelling place for you and for Moses and Elijah, and everything will be great. And if you're honest, you would have said the same thing, wouldn't you? I would. But that's not how it works out. Because in order for heaven to be open for all of us, Jesus had to do something first. He had to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die and then be raised from the dead. Which is why the voice of the Father spoke from the cloud, "This is my beloved Son." He's not just a rabbi. He's not just a prophet. "This is my beloved Son, on whom my favor rests. He is my anointed one. He is the Messiah. Listen to him." And then Jesus taught them that the Son of Man had to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die. It's the same thing for us. If you think you can get just right to heaven without picking up your cross daily and following after the Lord Jesus and uniting your cross to his, you're fooling yourself. Because all of us need to walk that road that ultimately ends in our death too. Because when we die in Christ, and he will raise us up. It's also a wonderful time to reflect upon the very nature of Jesus, who Jesus is. And one of the first things that we see is that Jesus is not two people. There's not the human Jesus, and over here, the divine Jesus. They're one person. You know, oftentimes people talk about the Jesus of history and the Jesus of faith. They're the same person, just one person, but with two natures. Now, no one here has two natures. We have one nature. We're human beings. But Jesus, because he is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, taken on our frail human nature, he has two natures, a divine nature and a human nature, one God in two persons, or actually one Lord in two persons, is one God in three persons. It's a different thing, a Trinity. We're talking about the person of Jesus. And when Jesus took upon himself our human nature, that human nature was not diminished or destroyed by his divine nature. It remains side by side in that one person of Jesus, who is true God and true man. Now, it's important to remember that Jesus' human nature is a little different from ours, because your human nature and mine, they're touched by the stain of original sin. And the effects remain even after our baptism. Our minds and our hearts are darkened. We have concupiscence, the desire for things we shouldn't desire. Jesus doesn't have any of those. His nature as a human is like ours, what ours will be when we are raised from the dead, assuming that we die in friendship with God. That is what our human nature will be like in the resurrection. And you might say, why is this important? It sounds like just a bunch of priest stuff, theology. Well, it's very important because it bears upon three things. The first of which is Jesus' role as Savior. Only a person who is true God and true man can save us from our sins and open the gates of heaven for us. Why? Because who owes the debt of sin? Human beings do. So the person who owes the debt has to pay it, even though Jesus never sinned. Because he is a son of Adam and Eve, he has to pay that debt of sin. But only someone who is God has the power to pay the debt and to rise up by his own power on the third day. If Jesus were not true God and true man, he could not save us from our sins. Also remember that Jesus didn't just come to save us from our sins. He also came to reveal God to us in the perfect way, the most perfect way possible in this world. And because he is a human being, or rather he has a human nature, we can see him, we can hear him. But he is also God. So we see and hear the words of salvation from the very mouth of God himself. And it's good to remember that Jesus' divine nature wasn't just revealed at the Transfiguration. It was revealed in his teachings. And it was also revealed each and every time he worked a miracle. It showed his power as God. And lastly, the union in his person of divinity and humanity is an eternal sign of our redemption. And it is a union which will last forever. All too often people think that when Jesus ascended into heaven, that he took off his human suit, and he will only put it back on again when he comes back in glory at the end of time. No. Jesus will remain true God and true man forever. And that is an eternal sign of our redemption. It is also a sign of our adoption into the inner life of the Trinity, our communion with God, which is truly a wonderful thing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.